The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here, Analyze This, and of course, you know that you're doing well when your guest, you hear her voice twice when we're doing the news. Dr. Ellis, you're large and in charge.
Oh my gosh, you're big. I hope no one has to hear me again after, you know, we get enough people vaccinated and COVID's over. So for a long time, there's no outbreak.
the term we use here, you're big. You're big, Dr. Ellis. You're large. Like, you're doing a great job. You really are. You're doing a great job, and we appreciate
that. Thank you.
Okay, check this out, right? The question's been rolling in. Here's the first question. Text message from one of our listeners and one of our contributors as well. Do we have a percentage of non-locals who have been vaccinated and have been tested? Does our data have the ability to distinguish that? And if not, what's the ballpark number?
Yeah, it does. So it's a little tricky to do that analysis for residency versus non-residency vaccinations. I'll separate it into two different kind of topics. Mm-hmm. But we have some preliminary data that we've been able to analyze on the first 24,000 doses. So I looked at the 24,000 first doses since March 24th. Mm-hmm. The overall proportion of non-USVI residents was 5.9%.
Okay.
So that was 1.8% Puerto Rico and 4.1% other.
Mm-hmm. You broke that down. That's good. 4.1 and 1.8.
It varies by provider. It's gone up a little bit more recently at the CVCs. It's 12% at the CVCs, and it's less than 2%. At the providers. I'm sure early on, you know, people that live here just went to their providers to get the vaccine. And now that the CVCs are open, it's a little higher there. But in general, overall, 5.9%, which is good. We, you know, want most of the vaccines to hopefully be going to residents so that we do reach herd immunity here of those that among those that live here.
Okay, good. So ballpark number, 94% residents, 6% non-residents, and of that 6%, roughly 2% of that 6% is Puerto Rico and 4% mainland.
Yeah, exactly. And many other states now have opened up the vaccines to 16 and over. I read that. I think, you know, early on when March 1st, when we were open, those that really wanted to seek out the vaccine may have come here and gotten vaccinated and probably contributed to our economy and tourism.
Yeah, man. You're right. For every, you know how the saying goes, right? And you're in the science business. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction, right? In the case of when we were being labeled as a vaccination destination, if people are coming here to get the vaccine, yes, they are maybe impacting the inventory for local people, but they're spending money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, things have a way of balancing out. Hopefully it doesn't impact how we deal with that. Now, on Thursday's conversation, can you please give us some update and some guidance to our elderly population in particular when they're traveling? They're not aware of the rules and the policies, and they're getting stuck at airports for having to stay for an additional night because they don't know of the testing rules that are required in order to travel.
Okay.
Please update us on that.
Yeah, definitely. And this one more thing with the vaccines, you know, there was never a barrier to anyone local getting vaccinated. So if you haven't been vaccinated and you want to get vaccinated today, just walk into one of our CVCs. St. John is only open on Saturdays, so you can walk in to the St. Thomas or St. Croix CVC. Of course, we prefer you make an appointment, but you can go online and there's appointments starting, really close to within this week. So that hasn't been a barrier. But regarding the travel portal, if you travel, you have to get tested either by PCR antigen within a few days of, and have your results back within a few days of flying into the U.S. Virgin Islands, or, and I think this or is the really the best option, especially if you want to go for a short trip, is you can test antibody positive. So another advantage of being vaccinated 2 weeks after your second dose, you can get an antibody test, and if you're positive, I really only recommend testing for IgG antibody. That's the kind of lifelong antibody that you'll hopefully have that protects you to this against this virus. And if you're IgG positive or IgM, some places are testing for both, but I've had, you know, individuals call and be like, I was IgM negative. Is that okay? But they were IgG positive. So if you're positive for any antibody, you can also use that result for 4 months to fly back into the U.S. Virgin Islands. So the important thing, I guess, regarding the elderly population or maybe in less tech-savvy individuals is you do have to upload that result to the travel portal. So if you go to the tourism's homepage, you'll see a link there that, you know, register for the travel portal. So you fill out some information and you upload your negative result. They send you a green light. It's called a QR code. They send you that green code. You're good to go. You're clear. You can fly here. And so if you have trouble doing that, I think it would be important to reach out to the tourism or the travel portal. There's contact information on the homepage, or maybe ask someone to help you. I know it the first time you do it, it's maybe a little challenging. But what's also important is that you upload a legitimate result to the travel portal. We've had a recent surge in individuals filling out the travel portal, so they're well aware of the requirements and what they need to do, but they're fake or modified test results. And we did, you know, send out a warning last week at the press conference that is actually a felony. And it's also very dangerous to our population. There's a reason why we have these rules in place, because they really are protecting us and everyone, our entire community. And we have, you know, limited healthcare kind of surge capacity here. And if we had a surge of travelers coming in that were positive, it really would set off a outbreak. And so having that negative test result is really ensuring that we're minimizing the new introductions of virus into our population. And so if you're submitting a fake test result, it means you didn't get tested and you could be positive and not know it. A lot of people are positive and can pass it to others and don't have any symptoms at all. And so it's really putting that entire plane at risk, and anyone you come into contact with if you didn't get tested and follow the rules of coming into the territory. And we did actually arrest two people over the weekend.
Oh, really?
So we are enforcing that.
That's good. That's good.
Forward. Yes.
That's good. That's good. People need to know that if they're going to test the laws, that they're going to pay the penalty if they're caught. So that's a good thing. And we had read a story. There were 64 different false registrations or false information that was put in. I think I heard one of our deputy attorney generals, chancellor, he was at a briefing with the governor a couple of Mondays back, and they were speaking about that. So that's good to know. Now, finally, this is the last question. And we got Ms. Astia LeBron joining us from the Department of Labor. One of the concerns that we have. Good morning, Ms. LeBron. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, good. One of the questions I was going to ask Dr. Ellis with respect to the summer. You know, summertime's coming. There's going to be more movement of people. And the Department of Labor is also in the business of hiring more summer students in the summer of 2021 than we did in 2020. Is that correct, Ms. LeBron?
Certainly.
Okay, good. So can we get some suggestions, Dr. Ellis, with respect to how we could help the Department of Labor and the different agencies who may be doing things that we couldn't do last summer to help us keep the numbers down while we are transitioning into this full vaccination period? Dr. Ellis.
Yeah, definitely. Morning, Astia, LeBron. Nice to hear your voice.
Morning, Dr. Ellis. I wanted to go off and be like, hi, Astia. But, you know, to wait until it was our turn.
Awesome. That was so nice to hear you. We worked together back in the day.
you have a history.
We were backpacking through St. Thomas testing for chikungunya. That was back in my heyday. Let's talk about the summer.
Yeah, see, I'm just finding out. You have a history with the Department of Health. It takes Analyze This to bring people back together, so I have no problem with that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so I think with summer stints, it would be good to recommend the same policy that we, travel policies that we are recommending for schools and certain agencies too have put this in place where you get tested 4 days after return and be negative and then go ahead and go to work at that point, but not necessarily go to work directly off a plane because you could be incubating. You could have gotten exposed on the plane or in the airport and not be positive yet or not be sick yet. And the majority of people would test positive even if they don't have symptoms yet after 4 days.
Okay, good. See, so you get some advice there, Ms. LeBron. Final question. You know, you're very attractive now, Dr. Ellis. Do you need a lab request? It's a text question. Do you need a lab request from a doctor to get the antibody test?
No, you do not. So you can actually go to a couple of providers. I don't know if the person that texted you is on St. Croix or St. Thomas. On St. Thomas, there's Community Medical Lab and the Paragon. I'm trying to think what the other ones are. It's listed on our website. Red Hook Family Practice. Also, the Clinical Medical Lab. So there's three places on St. Thomas that I know can do the antibody test. And then for St. Croix, Pleasant, as well as St. Croix Clinical Lab, which is right next to the Kmart, Sunny Isle, can do the antibody test.
Okay. St. Croix is Pleasant and the St. Croix Clinical Lab. St. Thomas, repeat that again real quick, please.
Community Medical Lab, Clinical Medical Lab, as well as Red Hook Family Practice.
Thank you very much. Dr. Ellis, been a great guest, very popular. Appreciate you making some time available. I'll reach out to the governor to let him know to hold it down while I procure your services. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to get you any trouble.
Right.
And we're good. And keep on keeping on. And we appreciate everything you do for us at the Department of Health as we continue to manage the COVID-19 pandemic. Much appreciated.
Thank you. My pleasure. Okay, all good. Right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Good.
Bye.
And tell Janesta, Ty Camille, and Dwayne Henry, Neville James says hello. Okay? Appreciate that.
Tell Janesta I want a plate from Easter.
All right.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot. That's our Dr. Esther Ellis, Virgin Islands epidemiologist for the Department of Health. Now, Department of Labor, right? I'm gonna let the public know. You hurt me. You let me down. I'm serious. I was looking forward to talking with you guys last week. You know what I'm saying? Let them know, you know. But you know, because I love you, you get some time today.
Thank you.
So check this out, right? We got a youth town hall meeting.
Oh, yes. We have a youth town hall, a virtual town hall that we want folks to tune into. We're going to be streaming that on Government House Facebook, our Facebook. It's syndicated. We're also going to be on Government Access Channel.
Okay. And that is when?
That's going to be tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. sharp. Your host is going to be Rashidi Clemens. We're going to be talking about an array of topics that not only affect youth, but also affect those providers, and also just a call to action for the entire community to wrap around not only our youth, but, of course, the issues and initiatives that affect us the most, which is employment. I was sitting here actually just preparing something for that event, just talking about, you know, being a lit student, and you mentioned to me, oh, you were at Department of Health. So I was just thinking about how much all of us have been able to gain from our local programs and gain from these things that have started endemically, you know. And I've been comparing to other demographics and jurisdictions. And we have so much heritage base and so much groundwork that's been done so that we can continue that legacy of world leadership. That I feel like I forgot to tell you that, because I almost felt like that's just something that comes with the territory, you know. Even you, look at how much experiences you've had and how you've really had a journey through your work and career path as well, you know?
Hold on right there. We'll pick it up. I know you're in full flow, so hold on. We'll come right back with Ms. Astia LeBrand,
okay,
Department of Labor. We'll be right back.
Resolutions. New financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
It's important to know what's going on, but keeping up can be a lot, especially with those news alerts blowing up your phone, leaving you stressed and confused. So when you need some shelter, a safe haven from the noise, you turn to public radio. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and WTJX-FM is your space for respectful, thoughtful dialogue and reporting that breaks down big ideas. Bring yourself future moments of peace. Give online at www.wtjx.org.
Didn't get to hear a Fresh Air interview you really wanted to catch? Fear not. Fresh Air Weekend gives you a second chance to hear our most entertaining conversations with actors, writers, filmmakers, and musicians. Interviews and reviews you don't want to miss on Fresh Air Weekend. Weekend is coming
soon. Fresh Air Weekend, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1 NPR in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back, and we have Ms. Astia LeBrand joining us. From the Department of Labor. Tomorrow, there'll be a virtual youth town hall. Learn more about the Brian Roach Administration Workforce Development Plans. Learn about the Summer Youth Work Experience Program tomorrow at 6 p.m. It's on the Government House Facebook page. And guests will be...
Our Lieutenant Governor, Chigenza A. Roach Esquire, our Governor, of course, Governor Albert Bryan Jr., and Commissioner Gary Molloy. Those are our distinguished platform guests. But we also have some very special appearances by Pressure. All right. We have Adam O, and we also have the lovely Tia.
Yeah.
And I told you Rashidi is a host. Right?
Yeah. Clenance.
Yeah.
Sheedy. We don't call it Sheedy. For those of us who know him personally, we don't call it Sheedy. You know what I'm saying? So, Rashidi.
I don't have that rush, but I'm on the radio.
Yeah, Rush on the radio, right? But before he embraced that name, we knew growing up, Sheedy. You know, check. Aww. So, yeah. Give it that. Yeah, he played for me on my basketball team. He and Timmy and Allen played for me back in the day. So.
Everybody's talking about these basketball.
Yeah. We got Bo coming on a little while after you, know. So today's not
that's awesome.
Not my big shots calling the show today, so we're appreciative of that. So,
April 7th, 6 p.m. live on Facebook.
Okay, good thing. Now, quickly, for those who are listening, you got parents probably listening. They want to tell the children what's going on. For those who ain't listening to the show. Applications for summer youth employment. How's that working?
Yes. You reminded me. We got an extension. We have an extension out there for April 16th. All right. April 16th is the deadline for the LIFT program. That is next week, Friday. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure that we get those applications in before then. To get access to applications, you can visit us online at www.vidol.gov/wardforms. And those applications are labeled LIFT program and youth program as well. When you do complete your applications and you want to turn them in, or if you have any questions, you can call Mr. Kevin Dixon at 340-773-1994. His extension is 2202. You can email Kevin at k kevin.dixon, that's kevin.dixon@dol.vi.gov. The youth summer work experience, which is apart from the LIFT is for college students, juniors, seniors, 60 credits or more, graduate students, that program is the April 16th deadline. But now for those 14 to 24-year-olds that are in or out of school that would like the summer youth work experience, they can apply for that as well. Remember, the 14 to 15-year-olds are going to go through an experience, but they're going to be given a stipend, and they're going to be in a more controlled environment so that they can be prepared for that future that the 16 to and up get. So the requirements for that, of course, are the age range, of course. You can go through the program. That general application will then put you in based on your age and based on your eligibility. That deadline is April 23rd.
April 23rd. Okay.
April 23rd.
So for the 16th is the summer youth program. That's the deadline.
No, the LIFT.
The LIFT program is the 16th.
Labor Investing for Tomorrow.
That's LIFT, right? And then the 23rd is the summer youth program deadline.
Yes, and that's the general program for our 14 to 25-year-olds. We also have the Work, Earn, and Learn program. And that's something that you could also inquire about, but you can apply for that as well online under www.vidol.gov/forms. And the man with the plan is, of course, Dr. Kevin Dixon. You can call him at 773-1994, extension 2202. He likes you to call him Kevin. I just like to call him Dr. Dixon.
Dr. Dixon, www.vidol.gov/forward forms.
.gov/forward forms.
Okay, good
and
thing.
And to see us live on Facebook, you can actually go to @GovernmentHouseUSVI or you can go to @USVIDOL.
Okay, good. How are the commissioner and assistant commissioner doing respectively?
Nice. Well, both assistant commissioners are doing well. I got a chance to feature them as well as some of the ladies in leadership last month for Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. And we also were able to have some really great heritage events and events to promote VI history and culture. So, you know, we are able to do like a little dress up while we came to work, and also just to show also the public that we're going to embrace and we came to work kind of to you know, lively up everyone. So that was also a great event that we had internally, and that's something that we want to promote throughout the work experiences in the Virgin Islands and throughout management, is to promote, you know, that culture of embracing whatever the festivities are at the time, if you believe in them, of course. No, don't go against your beliefs. But, you know, if you want to find a way to really reinvigorate your staff and you want to find a way to build a team, you have to make sure that you invest in that type of thing. So I also want to give big shout-outs and kudos to our HR. Her name is Patricia Canegada. She's new, and she's just awesome. So, again, we're promoting HRs. We're also networking with other HRs. You know, our past HR is now the Workforce Development Director, so it's really good to see how those professionals in that field really solidify and encapsulate the team, and they push forward silently. You know, you don't hear much about HR. It's almost one of those positions that, you know, no one really says, hey, I want to be HR when I grow up, but the people that do grow up to be HR are true superheroes, so we really appreciate them. And, you know, labor is like the HR of HRs, right, so... We're here just making sure that that resource is well cultivated, and we're starting from our youth. So April 7th, all right, 6 p.m. on Facebook. Neville's going to be joining us live asking questions. No, I'm just joking. I'm trying to get more people to tune in.
Man, I love your sense of humor. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I'll tune in for a little bit. I'll watch it so I can do some critiquing on Thursday. That's a good thing.
You know I wasn't joking. You know?
I am, because I'm laughing. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, and looking forward to tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Okay?
And thank you for always supporting youth, man. You always do.
You got it.
Like you said,
you know
that.
I've been a beneficiary of it. I can't be a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying?
Sonny, you still a youth, you know, because
No, because I got here. The problem is the color.
Well, I get older people like you.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad that you got to link up with Dr. Ellis. I didn't know you guys had a history. My engineer had to let me know that. So
Hey, yeah. I really appreciate my experience throughout the village that's raised me. And I can say that GVI is one of those villages. So I appreciate that. I really appreciate my people, man. That's why I work hard.
Thank you very much.
I love you guys.
Mr. LeBron, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Don't be a stranger. Bye-bye.
Never.
I know. I know. I know. We're good.
April 7th, 6 p.m.
tomorrow afternoon. You got it. Facebook, right. Governor Brian Facebook page, right?
That's right. That's okay. Right.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That's Ms. Ashley LeBron from the Department of Labor. And, of course, we have a relationship with them. They make a monthly appearance on here. So we're glad we got to work them in. Today's show been absolutely flowing. No dead spots during the show at all, but it's nice. So I like that. And we're flowing as it is. We're going right now. This weekend was a big NCAA basketball weekend. We got Coach Donald Bow, Virgin Islands senior men's national team coach. What's up, Coach? Good to hear you, man.
Hey, what's up? Good to hear you. Morning and a pleasant morning to everybody else.
Awesome. Now, the Virgin Islands was big this weekend, man, in the tournament on both fronts. San Antonio with the ladies and Indianapolis with the men.
Yeah.
We had a player with the Houston Cougars. He didn't play much this year, but hopefully, Joanne Roberts is his name, right? Out of St. Thomas.
With Houston.
Calvin Sampson. Kelvin Sampson, and you have a relationship with Kelvin Sampson. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's the Michigan State link. And then we'll get to the coach. We'll come back to the coach. On the ladies' front, the Lisa Leslie Award winner, Aaliyah Boston. She didn't win Player of the Year. They gave it to Paige Beckers, I think her name is, the young lady from Connecticut who could shoot the light.
Right.
Shoot the light. She won all the national. She's a freshman. She won all the national Player of the Year awards. But Aaliyah Boston did win the Leah Leslie Award for the second year in a row. That's for the best big lady, big lady in the country. And she has won that as a freshman and a sophomore. And, of course, she had the heartbreaker. Offensive rebound, hit the back of the eye and lost by 1 point. What was that? I was watching it. That was hurtful. And then she started crying. But then, she did something that I thought was classy. She showed a lot of sportswomanship because apparently she has a relationship with the young lady Jones who made the game-winning shot for Stanford. They play on the national team together, so they were hugging and all that stuff. I like that. She showed good sportswomanship early on.
Yeah, that seems so. She's great. She's disciplined. She has great, she shows that she wears her emotion on her sleeve, but then she reels it out and put it in perspective and is, back to normal again. So I know that it was kind of hurtful watching her, the emotion and crying after, how that game unfolded. But then to see her recoup herself and regard herself with that eloquence and that showed me that, she's really a well-rounded person.
Now, Bo, let me ask this question. When we were growing up, remember whenever we lose, we always blaming the referee or looking for an excuse, right? And then we come to realize, sometimes just handle your business on the floor because nobody wants to hear an excuse when you lose.
Exactly.
Right? Let me ask this question, though. And you're there on the court. We're watching it at TV. The speed at which the game is going, right? What is it like compared to when you watch it on TV, how you could understand why referees miss calls? For example, Friday, right? There was a kick ball. I mean, it was clear as day, right? South Carolina is down three, right? The South Carolina guard making a move. The Stanford player kicked the ball, created a turnover, created a fast break, and they went up by five. And that's a Stanford went up by five. South Carolina still came back to take the lead. So when you factor in that 5 point, that 4 to 5 point swing.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we never know what would have happened subsequent to that because the game would have changed differently. But let me ask this general question. What is it like standing on the sideline and the speed of the game that we can relate to watching it on TV that sometimes officials miss calls?
I mean, that's definitely with human nature. That just in that call in particular, they actually saw, and you could have seen that if you really, not in, thanks to the camera and slowing it down, that it could have been it looked kind of to me also like an inadvertent, ball and foot.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you see the camera and then you say, okay, they started to look in, and then one commentator said, I thought that was a kickball or whatever. And then when you slow down, you say, "Oh!" Then everybody's like, "Oh, she deliberately."
Yeah.
So in the speed, and going back to what you're saying now, so within the speed of the game now, that looked it's so amazing. That looked one way as an inadvertent one, and then when you really analyze the play,
that was intentional.
It was definitely deliberate. that would have been a big factor too.
Yes.
Because it's critical times in the game. Critical times in the game. Possessions are really valuable, and that was one that, you know, that they kind of slipped. I don't know what was in certain things, you know, reviewable or what, but I guess it wasn't.
Now let me ask you. Let's educate the public here, right? There is a play. There is a infraction that is known as kickball, right? Right. However, sometimes the offender might throw the ball at your lower extremities, and you may not kick the ball. They might actually be hitting you with a pass. So in that case, it is not an infraction, right?
No, it has to be deliberate. Correct.
It has to be the defensive player extending their legs to the point where they're using their legs as a defense mechanism, right?
Right.
That's the difference. Exactly. That's the distinction.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Now let me move that. Let me move by that. And then of course, you know, early in the week, to me the game of the tournament on the men's side was the Saturday night game with Gonzaga and UCLA. However, the game of the tournament on the women's side was last week Monday night with Baylor and Connecticut, right?
Right.
Exactly, and that ended up in a controversial play as well, right? Where the Baylor player was convinced that she got fouled by two members of the Connecticut ladies' team at that particular point. So that's the reason why I ask. I'm not saying that the there was anything nefarious whatever going on, but game speed, right? And typically, is it safe to say that the referees would prefer that the games be won by the players and not necessarily impacted by officiating towards the latter part of the game, Coach Bo?
Yes, that's fair to say. And I think that was a reason why I think they were a little hesitant. And that play, I think, happened in the earlier quarters. I think a quicker whistle would have been blown.
Yes.
For a foul.
Yeah.
But I guess because it just unfolded like that, and that's referees tend to say, okay, even if it's close, you know, I'm gonna let him play it out. You know, and they kind of did. But I think, you know, when they look back, it's like, okay, you know, sometimes you rather a quicker ref. I mean, not a touchy referee, because again, you know, like you said, you know, you gotta let him play. But that one, when you reviewed it, she did have the contact, and I knew they would have made that call in an earlier quarter. She had actually two contacts, but
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah,
and look, you know how you know somebody confident? The young lady, I forget her name. I can pull up her name. The lady for Baylor, right? In the post game interview, she said they were asked. So one of the media asked her, so what do you think about this controversial call? Here's what she said. You know what she said? Yeah. There was no controversy. I got fouled twice.
Yeah.
So that's how you know when somebody mind definitely made up that they got caught.
Yeah.
But let me ask this question quickly before we go to the break. The Virgin Islands, with our population, and we are having impact on coaching levels and player levels. What is that saying for Virgin Islands basketball in general, Coach?
It's saying that no matter what, the Virgin Islands basketball has always been on the rise, and we got a little stagnated, but it seems like there's a breath of fresh air, not only in the players that we have in the tournaments and NCAA or in higher levels for that matter, but as well as coaching. So we know our basketball. Basketball is tradition for us, as well as some of the other major sports, but we put our mark in basketball in all phases of the game, and we're right there knocking on the door to now really show the world, actually, you know, the capabilities and what we have producing here from these islands in many sports, but in particular basketball. So it should be a sign where even our local government should say, you know, we've been pushing this for decades from the inception of Tim Duncan. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a rocket science. I mean, Tim Duncan was something that, I mean, books and movies have been made for a lesser degree. So when you have something like that, and you say, well, you know, where's the mechanism to create, you know, more, because this thing can be coincidence with just
exactly, man. That's the reason why I asked the question. It can't be coincidence. We got population of 100,000. We got impact with the ladies' game, with the men's game, with men's coaching. I mean, what more do you want? I mean,
it's too much going on, and that's what I said. I said, you know, we have to reflect our government, and you know maybe they're trying some, but we have to reflect more on this. I don't know what you call it, but it's something that's amazing in terms of sports and in particular basketball.
The foundation, our foundational level, we are doing something right where these players are developing consistently. When we take a break and we come back, we're gonna shift all to Jerome Tang. And we're going to talk about him being the assistant head coach. You're a coach, so you know what he's dealing with and how we're going to impact Virgin Islands basketball potentially going forward. Yes. We'll be back right after this with Coach Donald Bell, Virgin Islands senior men's national team.
Eligible for credit on your Via mobile, internet, or landline service through the Lifeline program? Lifeline is a federal program for qualifying low-income customers that lowers the monthly cost of important communication services. If you receive Medicaid, SNAP, housing assistance, or other government aid, a Lifeline credit may be available to you.
Contact Via at 340-777-8492 or visit the website via.vi/lifeline to see if you qualify.
News doesn't happen in the abstract. It happens to people. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, one of your hosts for On Point. We take on the news with the smartest guests and live calls from every corner of the country, helping you understand events and what's at stake. NPR's David Folkenflik hosts the Friday Week in the News. So join David and me for the next On Point.
On Point, 10 a.m. weekdays on WTJX FM 93.1, NPR in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Joshua Johnson. There's no denying it. 1A is based inside the Beltway. But a lot of the time, our guests come from further afield.
Hello, Joshua. We hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the International Space Station.
See the world differently on 1A from WAMU and NPR.
1A, 3 p.m. weekdays on WTJX FM 93.1 NPR in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here to analyze this, and I always get excited when Donald Bowe joined the show. Today is actually the first day that Bowe come on, and ain't a perfect weather outside, but it's still overcast and nice. Though ain't raining, just cloudy and nice, and ain't hot. That's a good thing, cause the sun ain't beating on us, so that's a good thing. Bowe,
still a good day.
Yeah, it's always a good day in paradise. You know
right?
That's right. Now, and of course for me, right? I graduated from University of Miami, so I definitely look out for the Hurricanes. I grew up rooting for Rancher and yourself at University, Michigan State University.
Right.
And I grew up as a UCLA fan. You know, I'm a big Bill Walton, Kareem. I like big guys, right? So those are the three teams I look out for, right? Saturday night, right? Game one, the Baylor Bears. And I think it's safe to say, Coach Bow, that the Baylor Bears was by far the classiest team in the tournament and in the country this year based on the way they dominated the Final Four. Two games, and they weren't even close, man. I mean, geez, I'm bread, man. That was two beat down on Houston and Gonzaga last night.
And actually, when you add to that, the games that they lost, actually, that they came out for that
COVID, yes.
And so they could have possibly been undefeated.
Undefeated, that's
those,
right.
Those teams that they had zero, you know, minimal practice or anything to that matter. Because, you know, with COVID, once it's COVID, you got to –
They started like 13-0, and then they had a COVID break, and then when they came back, the roster wasn't full, and they lost a couple of games, right? That's what it was?
Right, and that's when those losses came in, and then immediately after, they just reeled off, like, you know, back to their normal status of being the number two team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, at first people were like questioning, but I was like, but wait. Even our, you know, just in our sports, do you realize that they've been out 3 weeks? And, you know, it's hard to reel in, really, especially a team like that. And actually, the main thing that it was actually stressed was there was a defense, because they're a fast team and they cover a lot of ground.
So they
play defense almost at perfection, and you need practice for that.
Yes.
You don't, you could say offense, but you see defensively, for the kind of cohesive defense that they have. If you notice, there was no really no good open shots. It was just unbelievable the closing. Now that's one of the best defensive teams I've seen in terms of controlling the perimeter.
But check this out. When I watched that game last night, they got ball pressure on the ball handler, right? And then they get help. And then the rotation is crazy. Typically, the areas where you're supposed to find an opening, the opening were being shut off. They had connectivity and defense like professional teams, not college teams.
They were like a professional team. And when you look at it, it's just because of how the result. But Gonzaga is one of the best efficient, discipline, play running.
Ball movement and offense, correct.
And play running. And that coach, he's one of the best. I mean, there's stuff that they design in bound plays, out of bounds, side and baseline and all that. As good as you get. And they had no answer really in terms of it was just an impenetrable type of decoys, out cohesiveness. You see a skip pass. Gonzaga usually they skip that pass. They got a good breakdown and they skip it to the corners.
Baylor were waiting for them.
Yeah, and to cover that kind of ground is not only speed and athleticism, but you have to know rotations. And they were impeccable with that defense. I thought that was the best. I don't care what guard was out there. It would have been hell to actually run the offense, much less penetrate inside the
Correct. They were awesome. Which brings me to the assistant head coach, Jerome Tang, a native of Trinidad, but he found himself here on St. Croix.
Tell me,
for those of us who don't know him, including myself, tell us what you know about Jerome Tang and his relationship to Virgin Islands basketball, notwithstanding his being the associate head coach, which means he is the number two man, clear number two man, not just an assistant coach under Scott Drew. He is the associate head coach, which means he's clear number two for the University of Baylor Bears 2021 NCAA College Basketball Champions.
The thing about Jerome is that, I mean, you're talking about somebody who is as capable and professional as you get in that field. He's listed as one of the top assistant coaches, associate head coaches in the country, actually. Mm. Very, very, very intelligent, and it shows. I mean, he's a big part of the spokes in that wheel for Baylor. I know Scott Drew does a lot, but Jerome is number one. Of course, like most assistant coaches, you have to be impeccable in recruiting. You're in the Big 12. It's a lot of competition. Big schools are there. And I think Baylor, if you notice, they produce, I mean, they're going to get top 50 players regardless of what. Baylor facilities are just as, well, probably better than Duke, if you ask me, in out there in Texas, in Waco. Tang is as good as it gets. Strategy-wise, X and O, he is a real boss. He got a great job, and I know he stays there, but I know he probably right now will be getting a lot of offers and been getting offers. To go ahead to a head coach.
He
took it because, you know, it's a great position he's in. He's in a top powerhouse school and conference, and, you know, he's an associate head coach. So, He's in a great position, and sometimes, I don't know, maybe you get tempted sometimes just to test the water and see, well, what could I do as a head coach? And maybe that might lower it, but right now with his carrots and now that he have a tournament in a NCAA tournament in his resume, you know, you never know what, but I'm so happy for him because he's worked his butt off. He's going to be, I mean, if he's around you, you're going to see him making calls, you want to be talking to you or not. He's checking on kids, recruits, just knowing that we're about dealing with their parents, dealing with all the stuff that goes into, getting a young man and bringing him to the school as a recruit.
What's his relationship with VI Basketball?
VI Basketball, he's been along with some of the other coaches, Ed Pejito Estrella. Jareem Dowling, they've been basically running the lower categories.
The junior teams.
And, you know, he does that because, you know, he likes working with the kids and like teaching, and he loves teaching. I mean, he get in and he goes real in depth. However, he has also worked with the as assistant coach with the men's team from, I think, from 2009, 2010. He worked one or two events. And then 2018 summer, he was named head coach for one of our windows in 2018 summer. He was head coach for that, which we actually moved on to the second round by his tutelage. So he got that under his belt, and I remember talking to him, and, you know, I know he's been such a consummate assistant coach that, you know, this kind of said, well, that was, you know, a few years ago on his resume, said, well, you know what, he hasn't been a head coach. And sometimes you want to say, okay, when schools hire you, okay, yeah, but have you been a head coach? And so he has. He has been with the VI NASA. So the VI has he has helped us greatly, and likewise, because we got, you know, we got him as a head coach, and he went out a winner with that the FIBA ranks. So that's a great thing for your resume, because not only it shows that you're, you know, not at the NCAA level, but also at the international and FIBA level.
Correct, and he gets extra points because he was an original member of Scott Drew's coaching staff when he took over at a time when Baylor went through a major scandal with Coach Dave Bliss back in 2003. They had experienced ground zero for college basketball a couple of years after the world experienced ground zero in New York City. And it's good to see that he stuck with his guy for 18 years, because they had they showed an interview last night where when Scott Drew was hired in 2003 after the scandal, right? He said, I'm not just here to coach. I'm here to coach a national championship. It took long, but who cares? They've gotten to that point now. And actually, last year, I'm just looking at it, last year, they were a dominant team last year as well. They went 26-4 last year.
It could have been a same repeat of the one this year with Dejan Gonzaga.
Yes, but they had a tournament. Actually, so for all you know, they may have been defending a championship last night instead of just playing for one, based on how good. And they were number one for 5 weeks at one point last year.
That's right. And you know what? I must also say that, you know, I don't want to just put the NCAA championship to his just alone to his success, because Baylor, I mean, when I said Baylor basically was, I think, one of the quickest turnaround I've ever seen for a program.
They had to.
For it being that bad.
Yes.
Because guess what? Even though they just won the national championship, they've been knocking on the door now. Remember, Baylor been a ranked
16,
top 20 team for all these years.
Yeah.
You know Baylor's going to be there in the Big 12, battling Kansas, battling, you know, some of the bigger basketball powers in the Big 12 itself. So Baylor has been there right there. It's unfortunate, like you said, last year, I think they were with the same guard, because they basically had the same team. And those many other years that, you know, they had some, you know, close calls and got eliminated in the tournament, but knowing that they were a capable team. They've been a Final Four, Elite Eight team for years now, I would say. And Baylor have always been, to me, projected preseason, hey, at least Sweet 16.
They hit the Sweet 16 in 2014. They hit the Sweet 16 in 2017. They were Elite Eight in 2012, Elite Eight in 2010. I mean, they are a perennial basketball power at the college level.
And I think right now, I know you could look at the playing field and the landscape. I don't think the ACC, because see, once you get that one victory, then you know everything gravitates to your region, meaning, you know, now that you have a national champ, just like how Gonzaga had to walk their tail to get nationally renowned, now you notice they've been getting top recruits, but then now, you know, everybody and some of those top five players in the country might say, hey, Baylor might be an option better than Duke or North Carolina, especially with North Carolina now dropping off, you know, Roy Williams retiring. The ACC didn't look that good. Duke was dismal this year.
Basically, what you're saying is you might see a shift in the power base. Yeah.
It shifted. The TV games them the Big 12 gonna have, and that's a key thing. You see what people didn't realize it, the Big East, how the Big East was formed. No top city in a kid city in the East Coast was going to any of those New York or Big East
schools.
Places. They were going south or Midwest.
They were going to the ACC or the Big Ten, correct?
when they hit that TV contract, then you know that everything lowered back. And now the St. John's and the Syracuse and
Georgetown, yeah.
There was that decade of the 80s where if you're going, that's basketball, that's all you're watching on TV. Yeah, you will see North Carolina and Duke, but you mainly seen, you're looking at Pearl Washington, you're looking at Patrick Ewing them and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now that landscape varied again. And now you have, the Big 12, that landscape in the ACC, I think, will not change. They'll have still good teams. You have your Virginia, but I think the because of a national championship and the consistency and excellence that they've been exhibited, the more Midwest states them and even out west, because like you said, UCLA has something billing on too.
No, hold on. Yeah. Out of all the players over the weekend, the one player who is NBA ready as it relates to knowing how to score the ball is the boy Johnny Juzang for UCLA. Okay? He watching the hoop. He got good height. He about 6'8". He could dribble and he could shoot the basketball mid-range and from deep. I like his game as it relates to scoring the basketball. Don't get me wrong. The boy last night for the one that won the most outstanding player for the Final Four from Butler, the young man from Louisiana who was just pulling up from deep. And watching that man and hitting that jump shot, he was special. And he's only 20 years old, so I got a lot of respect for him. But the boy Johnny Juzang is nice. And the boy Suggs, he's a freshman too. I mean, he's a very good player, the boy for Gonzaga.
I knew Suggs, I thought he would have played a little bit, but I knew it was going to be tough with that onslaught of veteran guards.
I mean,
he's only a freshman.
Yeah.
He still has a lot to grow, not only in, I mean, he got a good IQ, but just his physique and, you know.
He's a football player, you know. He was Michigan, you know that as a junior, he was Minnesota football player of the year, and then as a senior, he was Minnesota basketball player of the year.
I saw that, and that helped
toughness.
His success actually being a tough freshman.
Correct.
However, he was going into a juggernaut that they got guys that, look, we master this position. This point, guys, but we're the master of it. And not only one, we got three of us.
But that's why they had a player on the team like yesterday who was 24 years old for Baylor.
Oh, yeah, the rebounder.
Rebounder.
But you see, usually Baylor, they pick, if I notice, and I got to tell, when I talk to Coach,
Before you go there, right? I want the public to know that I want the public so they could hear me begging you, right? I got an assignment for you and Lanis. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I need you to hook me up with a conversation with Coach Tang at some point because the show doing good. And you know that the host for the show like his sports and like his college bar. So
Coach
Tang will have a good conversation with me. That's number one. Tell Lanis, right? That even though Aliyah the play for the USA national team, that she wanted to talk to Lanis, so Lanis could get Aliyah to be on my show as well. I want them on my show so that her people them in St. Thomas, because you know she did high school basketball in Boston, right?
In
Massachusetts, I mean, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Her name is Aliyah Boston. So we're trying to get them on so that her people them could hear them. Aim on me is about the people them getting a chance to hear this excellence that we're dealing with. And we tried to get on the young man, Joanne Roberts, as well.
And I'm glad you're doing that, Neville, because I think we have dropped the bar with many others. I mean, even with Timmy in some cases.
Yeah,
but,
man.
You know, we got to get out there and show that when
it needs to happen now, Bo. It's like the recovery money we gain from Congress. If we don't fix our infrastructure now, ain't gonna happen again. If we don't take advantage of Aliyah and Jerome Tang being in the positions they're in right now to at least give us some access, not necessarily full support, but access. When ain't gonna happen?
Exactly. And I think we have had them, so much of them we could put on that list that have been excellent in the national level, and we've kind of not pushed them home. And I want to know, like, you know, what if we don't push our own, who else would? So we got to make our Jan public know who are these players and names in the sports realms and at the national level.
That's right.
Maybe that might work as some inspiration for our upcoming. You know, we need those kind of role models for us and our youth, especially what we're going through. And I'm sure
the young man named Jared Butler, and he's from Louisiana, and he's a guard, 6'3", the one who won the most outstanding player, 20 years old, from Louisiana. Great player. Final thing I want to tell you before we run off, right? One of the reasons why I believe Baylor going to be a dominant team, the state of Texas and the state of Florida is the biggest high school sports bases in the country, along with California.
Along with California, correct.
Those three states, you could always get athletes to play baseball, basketball, and football. And Baylor going to be a powerhouse for a long, long time. Coach Bow, thank you very much for joining us. I tried to get on Calvert, but you're busy. You know you've been out for a couple of days. So we work on this. We'll pick this up again.
I'm going to pick up on that assignment. We're going to try to hook up some. I'm on texting
and see you. Give my number. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Good looking.
All right, man. You take care.
Great show. Thanks a lot, Donald Bow, coach for the national team. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.